Okay, let's start this year's Haggadah Shir, Tavshin Ayin Ches, as we, Baruch Hashem, had the schus to be able to study the Haggadah with commentaries from throughout the ages, from the Rishonim and the Achronim, and try to, maybe remind ourselves of some of the highlights of the past 16 years or so that we've been able to learn the Haggadah together. But, Baruch Hashem, the packet that you have in front of you is I think everything except for one is has not been mentioned in these shiurim, and Be'ez Hashem will be able to have some new insights that we will see. The night is about, as we know, one word that is the focus and the goal of the night. Lev Zilberstein, in one of his new svarim, again he has new svarim out every month. When you go to the svarim store, the Chashuk Echemed, the Ha'arevna, the Alein L'Shabeach, but here he came out with a sefer discussing the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, as we know, is the only one of the Rishonim that has a Sefer HaMitzvahs with a Shorish, with Tamei HaMitzvahs. So he quotes the Tamei HaMitzvah, and then he has three pages about that Tamei HaMitzvah, about stories and messages and Musar. So on the Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, which you have in front of you, in Mitzvah Yud, he says, obviously Matzah is supposed to remind us of what was and what Hashem did for us. In other words, what he talks about here is Hoda'ah. The focus of the evening is to be Makar Tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't add it, but to throw in, that is why we also mention the Psukim from Kisavo, Mikra Bikurim, not focusing on Psukim purely from Shmos. There are many reasons for that. But one of the reasons is that Mikra Bikurim is also about Hoda'ah. It's about giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing what He's done for us, achieving the state of Hallel, and that is what we have to do. Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. Every one of the statements that we make is to make us recognize and feel. And Hoda'ah is not something simple. And it's not something that we should do by rote. He quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman in the middle of the page. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, to make a bracha without kavana, okay, is not good, but it's one level of lack. But to say thank you without kavana, to say no delecha, to say modim, no delecha al chayenu amasur biyadecha, he says that's even worse. Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, is quoted as, sometimes he repeated, no delecha, the words no delecha, because he didn't feel that he had the proper kavana. Nodolcha al shenchata la'avuseinu. And that's what the focus is of the evening. He quotes one of the Rashi Yeshivas. He quotes that he once saw outside, Pamnit Kalti. He quotes, he met Rav Gershon Klevinsky. Not sure. He quotes that one of the Rashi Yeshivas. He said he saw him outside of a hospital looking up at the sign outside the hospital, with all of the machlakot, with all of the parts of places in the hospital. He says, what are you doing? And he sees him mumbling something as he's looking up. He says, what are you mumbling? He says, I come here once a month. I just look up at the signs. I see cardiac ward. Thank you, Hashem, for not letting me need the cardiac ward. Right? Oncology. Thank you, Hashem, for not making me need the oncology ward. Psychiatric, neurology. Right? All going through. Thank you, Hashem, for not letting me need that ward. For each of the machlakot. That's Hoda'ah. That's focusing. So often, we don't focus, right? We just, go. We just live our lives. And only when there's a problem, do we then say Asher Yatzar with Kavana. Only when there's a problem, do we start recognizing. The night of Pesach is about recognizing what Hashem does for us while we have everything. Without any lack, without any, recognizing where we came from. Maschil Begnus. Right? And that's what we have to talk about. Maybe it's a nice exercise at Shulchan Aruch. To go around the Seder, that we'll go around the table. To think, to really ask ourselves, something that we're extra thankful for. Something that Hashem gives us. That I'm breathing. That my family. That, this skill that Hashem gives me. Whatever it is, because that's what the night is about. It's about having Hoda'ah, and it's about recognizing everything that Hashem does for us. So that's the whole message of all of the Divrei Torah and all of the thoughts that we give relating to the night. Okay, so now we get into the actual Seder, as we know, starting off with the Simanim, Kaddish Orchas Karpatz. We've quoted in the past. Again, I'm going to, as we usually try to do, mention things that are not in front of you as well. Simanim, one of the Hasidic Rebbes once said, why do we call it the Simanim? The Simanim, Kaddish Orchas Karpatz. We should call it the Dvarim. Why Dafka Simanim? So the Simanim comes up, one of the places in Halacha, at least one place, and that is in Hilchas Hashavas Aveda. Right? When we have to identify, give an identifying feature to an item, we have to supply simanim. And if we could supply the simanim, so then we'll get the item back. Because now it's ours. It's an identity. Throughout the year, a Jew is lost. Throughout the year, we don't know where we are. We can't find ourselves. We don't know where we're going. On the night of our national birthday, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we give the simanim. We give the simanim. We emphasize what are our identifying features. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas. This is a journey that we're taking to achieve Hodah, to achieve the goal that we all want to get to. But we have to recognize that we want to give our simanim to be able to get our identity back. Right? There are two, parenthetically, there are only two nights of the year where we have a Seder. Where a Jew has a Seder. We have a Seder on Pesach, that's the more famous one. But the Rambam also has Seder Avodas Yom HaKippurim. We have two Sedarim, maybe the two nights of the year that we need to find ourselves, that we need to get back to our root identity. On Yom Kippur, a Jew gets back to his identity, right? They uncover their true self. And also at the Seder, we give the Simanim and we uncover our true self. We also like to mention the Simanim being the itinerary of where we're going tonight. If somebody goes on vacation and they get to the place and then they call up the museum that they want to go to and the museum says, oh, sorry, we're not open on Tuesdays. And then they call up this other place, you have to make reservations in advance. You have to, if we don't plan things out at the beginning of our trip, then we're not going to get the most out of it. And we might lose certain elements and certain aspects because we're not able to focus on what was and what will be. We know exactly the plan. We know every stop of the train. Kadesh Urchatz Karpatz. And that's where the minhag of some families comes from. Before you do it, then you start again and you make stop. Kadesh Urchatz Karpatz. That's what we're up to. Right? Because that's the stop. We recognize that we're part of the, it's on the part of the journey called Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we give the simanim and we start with Kadesh, we make Kiddush. Again, keep in mind this year that Kiddush has extra special relevance, and that is, it's part of Kiddush of Shabbos. Zachros Yom HaShabbos Lakadsho. Friday night being the first Seder, the only Seder in, here in Eretz Yisrael, we have to recognize that, it's a mitzvah daraisa. Part of them, it's not one of the, just one of the dalet kosos, mitzvah d'rabanan, but it's a mitzvah daraisa that could have nafka midas in terms of the size of the kos, and others, but one has to have that in mind. Again, lamaisa, one has to drink beheseba, and with all the, other hidurim, regarding Kaddish. Urchatz Karpas, let's go to Yachatz. Karpas we've spoken about in the past, one of our fan favorites, but we won't repeat that right now. Yachatz. What's the message of Yachatz? We split the matzahs. There's the halachic reason, and then there's many hashgafic reasons. Yachatz, the obviously halachic reason is, we need to create the lechem oni. We need to create the poor man's bread. A poor man, one of the three pshatim the Gemara gives for lechem oni. Lechem oni. Lechem of a poor man only has broken pieces, so we break the matzah. We break the middle matzah. That is why the minog of Ashkenazim is to have, and even of the Shulchan Aruch, everybody except Tamanim, we have three matzahs. Because you want to have two whole ones for Lechem Mishnah, and then a broken one to fulfill Lechem Oni. Tamanim only have two, because that's the Lechem Mishnah of Pesach. But either way, that's the halachic reason. But then there's the Ashkafic reason, the message of breaking the matzah. So explains here in the Be'er HaChaim, he quotes, Rav Bitterman quotes from the Rav Menachem Mendel Miriminov, Shehu Inyan Krisas Bris Bein Yisrael Avim Shabashamayim. It's creating a covenant between Hashem and Am Yisrael. Vizel Shono, Fati Mechzes Ho'edas Afikomik Mo Krisas Bris. Why? Kishen Ifradim Shnei Ohavim, Mechalkim Tabas Echad. When two people, two friends, in the olden days used to separate, they used to take a coin, and they used to split it in half. Take a bill, split it in half, and each of them will take half. So when they meet each other again, or when they would look into their wallet and they would see half, they would remember their friend. They would remember that they're only half of the being. V'yalken yechzu es hamatzah, sh'anachnu karsim brisim bar'enu. We put half of it away for tzafun, for afikomen. Half of it we keep in front of us. We have a krisas, we're co-raised bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says maybe even Bizman Hazeh, you change the mashal a little bit on the bottom right. V'nira levar, l'shnei o'avim shayitzrichan li parizem izeh, u'kadesh lo yomu zichram mi b'neihem, I guess you have to think about the olden days when there were actual pictures, not on phones, right? There was an actual picture. You cut a picture in half, and you take one half, and I'll take the other half. Maybe you take the picture half of me, and I'll take the half of you. And then when we get back together, we realize it's one picture. We realize we're in the tmunah together. They come together. And maybe that's the splitting of the matzah. Shekarsim brisam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'machzaz HaMatzah nosim lo yisparach shemo. We, so to speak, give half it to Hashem. V'achatz yasheni shomer metzleinu. The other half we keep to us. Yachatz, at the beginning of the process, when we're about to start Magid, the story, we know Hashem promised, like we say later on in the Haggadah, Baruch Shomer Avtachas Li Yisrael. We know there's a promise that we're one half and Hashem is the other half. Just related to this, we discussed this in a Parsha Shir a couple of years ago, are the beautiful words of the Sefer HaYikarim, Rav Yosef Albo. I gave it to you on the next two pages. Rav Yosef Albo discusses the first bris, and that, of course, is the bris ben Abasarim. Maybe Yachatz, the night that we were born, reminds us of the night that Hashem made a covenant with Avram Avinu. Right? We all know the story. It's very unusual. But again, with this background, we understand it. How did Avram Avinu and Hashem make a covenant? They split animals in half. They put them on two sides. Avram walked through. That's why it's Bein HaBesarim. We even call it that. The covenant of the parts, of the pieces. Bein HaBesarim. What's so significant about walking between two halves of an animal? Right? Avram walks through. Then the fire, symbolizing Hashem, goes through. What's the message? Says the Sefer HaYikarim on the left side, on page 4. Va'atam lepoal hazeh, shekrisas habris hu kesher kayam bein shnei anashim. Karisei habris, right? It's the kesher between two people. Kedei likshar uledave ko'ava b'neihem, to bring the love between them. Ad shiyu shneihem ki'ilu heim guf echad, until they recognize that they're really one goof, one body. The Yishmar kol echad mehem es chaveiro, kishmiraso es atzmo. They focus on the other like they focus on themselves. Leficha karsin bal chai l'shnayim. V'ovrim bein abasarim. Why they do that? La'os. Ki kemosh shnei abasarim ha'im guf hayu guf echad. Two halves of a body, of an animal, were one goof, one living organism. The people that walk through, the parties that walk through, become one living organism. And after the bris bein abasarim, Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kud shabrichu v'Yisrael, chatu. They became one, they became unified. And that before that it wasn't. V'lo hifrid bein shnei elo chalakim ra'amavis. What will separate us? Till the death, says the Sefer HaYikarim. Kem shnei anashim karsi abris, der kuguf echad. And that's why, after bris bein abasarim, what is Hashem? Hashem can't keep any secrets from Avram Avinu. Because they're one. You can't keep your secret from yourself. You have to share. You're a unit. So at the beginning of the Seder, we do Yachatz. Maybe to remind us of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. To remind us of that first breaking in half. And we put away, we recognize that Hashem's the bigger half in the agreement. Right? We put away the bigger half. And He's the one that's Safun. He's the one that's hidden. He's the one that we don't see. Right, nireh ve'roeh ve'eino nireh, as the Gemara says in a different context, describing our neshama. But roeh ve'eino nireh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the roeh ve'eino nireh, and that's why He's the tzafun. We put Him away, v'chulu, and that is the message. One of the messages that we could say of Yachatz. Okay, so now we get into the Magid, which is the major discussion that we're going to have, and that is halach ba'anya. Either this is an introduction to Magid, or this is Magid. We uncover the matzah, and we start with the Halach Ma'anya. I will try to throw in a number of thoughts that are not in front of you from Rav Soloveitchik, being that this Pesach, this Chol HaMoed Pesach, is Rav Soloveitchik's 25th yard site. A lot going on relating to his Torah and his all of his Svarim. Unbelievable that it's been 25 years. But either way, we'll mention a few thoughts of his, again, from other Haggadahs too. But Halach Ma'anya we have right in front of us. First, let's say something from Rav Soloveitchik, and that is a question that many Haggadahs ask. What exactly are we inviting? Why are we inviting? What do you mean, why are we inviting? Why don't we invite in shul? Why are we inviting now? If you really want to invite somebody, invite them in shul before you came home. No, we close the door, and then we do the inviting. Right, so what exactly is the message of that? So two thoughts that he mentioned. Number one, Actually, they're both connected. The inviting is not really an invitation. The inviting should have happened in shul. Right, another question you could ask. Called Disrach Yesei V'Yivsach, you can't invite for the Karban Pesach. You had to be appointed before Shechita. So you can't even invite. It's against Halacha. Nobody could take part in your Karban Pesach. Right? You had to be part of the Chabura beforehand. So what exactly is the message? Rav Soloveitchik suggested that it's really a reflection of Chayrus. It's not really an invitation, but we're just acting free. What do you mean we're acting free? We're acting like Chayrus, or we're acting like a Melech? The butler does not invite whoever he wants. It's the Balabais that invites. So just the act of inviting itself is like Haseba. Right? The Eved, it doesn't drip with Haseba. He's on the tip of his chair and ready to do whatever the master says at any moment, at his beck and call. But the master relaxes and, you know, there's not a care in the world. That's Haseba. So when we invite, we're not actually inviting. We're just acting like free men. We're acting like people who make their own decisions. We're acting like people who have a chodesh hazeh lachem. Right? This is your month. This is your time. Like the Sfarno says, right? This is the mitziutchem habechiri. Your time is starting now, and that is what is meant by the invitation. But another thought that you have in front of you from Rav Shradron's Haggadah, the Magid, you have in front of you, we start off, if you look closely, holach ma'anya, kshinadaktek balashin baal Haggadah. Right, if we look closely at the words of the Baal Haggadah, Nireh, and again, this is an ancient part of the Haggadah. Right, it's known that the Haggadah has many, many layers. Right, very old parts and somewhat newer parts. Aren't so many very new parts. But, you know, the oldest part, obviously, are the Psukim. Right, but even besides that, there's much of the Haggadahs from the times of the Mishnah. Right, Manish Tana, and Avadim Hayinu, and the parts of it are in the Gemara, and but a lot of the Haggadah is already in the Mishnah and the Gemara. Some of it is later, right? Dayenu and Chad Gadya are some of the later additions. But either way, we have Halach Ma'anya, one of the earliest parts of the Haggadah. So we start off by saying, this is the poor man's bread. Who wants to have some? Halach Ma'anya, Lechem Oni. But later on, we say, Kol Ditzrich Yesei the Yifsach. All of a sudden, we're offering meat. We start off by focusing on bread, not bread, Lechem Oni, Matzah, and then we switch over to meat. So why don't we just say at the beginning, if we really want to get people to come, we should mention meat at the beginning. Right, that would, you know, definitely get more, at least the men, you know, to come to the meal. So explains Rav Shradron, no, what's the focus of each sentence? The first sentence is only talking about what I have. The later sentence is talking about what I'm offering to others. When we focus on ourselves, we could be more kamsani. And we don't have to take everything for ourselves. And we could be sameach b'chalkenu. V'hainu mishum b'mashu nogia la'atzmo, sarach ha'adam lehistapek b'lechem oni. That's enough. But when we're mazmin archim, we have to go above and beyond. Whatever the archim want. Whatever they want, give much more. How many parents take nothing for themselves and give everything away to their children? Because that's the attitude they have. They just want to give. But we all have to make sure we give. The most chitim should be reflective of this message. And he even quotes it based on a pasuk in Bereishis, in Vayechi. He quotes it from the Alshech. Me asher shmeina lachmo, v'hu yitain ma'adane melech. Me asher shmeina lachmo, b'shvil la'atzmo, dai lo b'lechem levad. Right, but for himself, it's enough just with lechem. V'lachmo zeh shmeina. And it's great for him. But when it comes to others, it's not enough just the lechem. Give everything above and beyond. Again, what we have for ourselves and what we have for others should be reflective. Good. Moving right along, Manishtana. Manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelos. It's been pointed out that in the view of the Rambam, Manishtana are not the four questions. Right? Though pashas, they are questions, and wonderful that the children should ask Manishtana. The Rambam's lashon is the Omer Vakana ben Shoel, the Omer Hakore Manishtana halayla hazeh. Here, the children ask whatever they want, whatever they see is different. Why are we not eating? Right? We always eat right away. We always make a big deal. Kiddush Baruch Hu Psuta. Right? We have to eat right away. And here, we've done so many things right before this. So why aren't we eating? Which is a halachic discussion also. But the Rambam says, yeah, ask anything, but then Va'omer HaKore, as the Aruch HaShulchan points out in his Agada, it's an explanation. Ma Nishtana is like Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem. How unique is this night? How unique and amazing and different is this night? Ma Nishtana. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig once said that the Rambam has a much discussed Lashon in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, comparing mitzvah l'saper b'yitzias Mitzrayim to mitzvah l'torah b'yitzias Mitzrayim, just like Zochar Siyom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Just like Zechir HaShabbos. And much ink has been spilled. Many pshatim. What is the connection between Zechir HaShabbos Mitzrayim, Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim and Zechir HaShabbos? He explained that Shabbos, many sources point this out, Shabbos is about saying, making Shabbos different. Shabbos has to be different than the rest of the week. It has to be cordoned off. Especially the Rambam holds Kiddush and Abdullah are both Daraisa. Shabbos should be cordoned off and different and unique. That's what Shabbos is about. Sibri Yitzias Mitzrayim is about focusing and recognizing how different this night is. Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh. This night is so different. It's so unique. It's so defining for our personalities for the whole year. And yes, we do Zechira a little bit every single day and night of the year. But Sipur, we focus on one night of the year in order to influence our entire year in terms of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim and Zechir Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's Manishtan, according to the Rambam, more of a statement. In front of you, you have a thought from the Shemin HaTov in his Haggadah. He discusses a phrase, right? Mashakot, I did a little research, not for my own, but again, we could take his thought even if we don't accept his question. Manishtana halayla zemikol halaylos. His question is, where it's underlined, d'yeshli t'miya yoser gedola mizeh, where it's underlined, manishtana halayla zeh, d'yesh bazeh stira nifla, d'layla hulashin akeva v'hazeh hulashin zachar. It should be la manishtana halayla hazos. Right, so that's the question. It's not exactly, doesn't seem to be true, based on the research that I did, layla gashum. Right, layla happens to have a hey, but it's zachar. Right, sometimes you have letters with hey that have zachars. Okay, but even so, we can still ask the question this way. Maybe there's a deeper message why we say hazeh. Hazeh has certain connotations when it's used in the Torah. What does hazeh generally mean? This is his pshat. We just don't have to use his question. We could say there's a deeper message here by focusing on the word hazeh, asking another question that he asks. And this is a question of others as well. The Mechilta, the discussion of the Mechilta. It's really, we say part of this Mechilta later on when we say Yochel Me'er Shchodesh, in the paragraph Yochel Me'er Shchodesh. I might think that you have to start CBC's Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh, Tama Lomar, Bayomahu. No, that day. Iba Yomahu, Yochel Mibod Yom. You might think before, Tama Lomar, no, Bavor Zeh. B'shoshi Yish Matzu Mar Munachan Lefanecha. Great. Question. If it's only at night when Matzu Mar are Munachan Lefaneinu, so why does it say Bayomahu? Why doesn't it say Balayla Hahu? That's a question. Right? Why does it say Yom? And this is discussed by various sources. Did Yitzias Mitzrayim happen at night or by day? Either way, in this pasuk, we're talking about when we have the mitzvah of Sipur, which is Dafka at night, and the pasuk still says Bayom Hahu. Why Yom if it's really Layla? So maybe the answer to that question could be focusing on the word Zeh. Hazeh. We know in the Torah, the word Hazeh generally means, in many contexts, clarity of vision. Zeh means you could point to it. Right? HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty figuring out the moon and how it looked, and Hashem showed him the moon. Kazera of a Kadesh. Zeh. Zeh means you could point to it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, there's no Ben Sora or Mora unless his parents are there. Because they have to say, B'neinu Zeh Sora or Mora. It has to be a Zeh. The menorah was very difficult to make. One slab of gold chiseled out. Zeh. So he says Zeh means clarity. You can point to it. Suggests the Shemin HaTov. Klal Yisrael, the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim, had such clarity of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was and what he meant to them. And everything was so clear. It climaxed in Kriyas Yamsuf. Climaxed. But it was that night. So it's called Bayom Hahu, because it was clarity as if it was daytime. Right? At night, sometimes it's harder to see. It's harder to drive at night. It's harder to see. Night vision is more challenging. So it's like Yom, there was clarity. Right? In the morning, right, we say, right, L'Hagidah Boker Chastecha, the Emunascha Balelos, at night you need more Emuna. It's not as clear. So maybe Manishtana Halayla Hazeh, it's so clear, it's like a Zeh night. It's a night where we could point and say, Hashem, look what you did for us. It's a night that we remember the clarity that we have to, that's the goal. Chayav Adam Leris is Asmo, Kilu Yatsami Mitzrayim. We have to try to get to the Zeh level when it's so clear to us and we have those feelings and we have those recognitions, and it's hard. We mention at least once a year, right? The Brisker Rav says this is the hardest mitzvah of the year. Kiilu hu yatsami Mitzrayim. But we have to try. If Hashem gave it as a mitzvah, so at least he said it must be possible, at least on our level. On our level, right? Maybe we're not on the Chassam Sofer's level. Chassam Sofer, that we mentioned in the past, one time one of his, somebody married into the family, he was going to be at the Seder, and the son say, you know, you can't look at the Shver. You can't look at the Shver. So his son-in-law, you know, at the Seder, he's like, what are you talking about? He said, you can't look at the Shver. What are you talking about? He comes to the Seder, the Chassam Sofer comes out in his kittel, his face was shining, you couldn't look at him. So he was the Chassam Sofer. He was Kiilu Yatsami Mitzrayim. And he was at the Zeh. But we on our own level also, we could get there as much as we can, recognizing everything Hashem does for us. That's why it's Bavur Zeh, B'shosh Yishmasu Umar Munach L'Fanecha. The Zeh is in the other pasuk too. Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem Li, B'seisim Mitzrayim. It's the clarity. Okay. Moving right along to Avada Mayinu. Okay, I cannot mention this thought from Rav Soloveitchik, one of my favorites. Again, it's not on your sheets, but again, some of the Rav Soloveitchiks I mentioned before, but again, this year for the yard site, I'm throwing them in also. Soloveitchik notes on Avada Mayinu, why is, we're up to page 8, in a minute, Bezrem, we'll get to in a minute. Avada Mayinu says, Rav Soloveitchik, why do we say Avada Mayinu and not Avde Paro Hayinu? Why Avadim Hayinu Liparo b'Mitzrayim? We were Avadim to Paro. Wouldn't it have been simpler to say Avdei Paro Hayinu? Like we say in Hallel, Avdei Hashem. Why is it Avadim Hayinu Liparo? Just say Avdei Paro. So Rav Soloveitchik says we have to go back to the beginning of the story. What's the beginning of the story? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the first time he meets God, at the burning bush. Why is that the image that Hashem chose to reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu the first time? The bush that was burning that wasn't burning. Why did Hashem choose that? Explains Rav Soloveitchik. Moshe Rabbeinu had his doubts about Am Yisrael. The last time he was there, there were two people that almost got him killed. Fellow Jews. He went out, he started helping everybody. He was run out of town. He was a fugitive. And now Hashem says, go back and redeem them. So he might have had his doubts. Even the angels had their doubts. Halalu avdo evarazara v'halalu avdo evarazara. What does Hashem show him? He shows him a burning bush, but the inside is perfect and not burning. The inside is pure. The inside is strong. Moshe, they're only on the outside, they're burning and they're falling apart. But the inside is strong and pure. Moshe, they're not Avdei Paro. Avdei Paro would have meant an identification with Paro, with his values, with his society, with his culture. Avadim Hayinu Liparo. That was a social reality. Avadim Hayinu Liparo, not Avdei Paro. And that's the message Hashem was giving Moshe. And even though we're Maskul B'gnus, it's a little comforting. We were Avadim Hayinu Liparo. Yes, we were on the 49th level of Tumah, but also Shloshinu Hashmam and Lashonam. You've got to put all the Chazals together. But there was some essence at our core that remained pure. Maybe only Mitocha Ones we were forced. Okay, so what do? We talk about Avadim Hayinu, and then at the end, we say V'chalamar B'lasabra B'yitzias Mitzrayim Areza Meshupach. The more the merrier. So here in the Haggadah Asapar Kavotcha, he quotes a mashal. Mashal ish ani ve'evyon, a very poor man, nivar midas, right? He was lowly, he was illiterate, he was uncouth, right? And all of a sudden he became rich overnight, right? He invested, whatever it was, he becomes rich. And not only became rich, but He learned how to live like a rich person. He learned to live in and eat in a dignified manner. And he learned all the other, you know, parts of the culture of living a dignified and an uplifted life. Every year, on the day that he became rich, he made a party. Suda Soda on that day. Made a party every day. As life has it, right, Nefacha Galgal, and he lost his money. Even though he lost his money, every day on the day he had become rich, he still made the party. On the day that he became rich. And asks his friends, what are you doing? You're not rich anymore. Why are you throwing a party? You know, you don't have it anymore. He says, you don't understand. Yes, I became rich, but when I became rich, there were so many more things that I got. I learned how to live a dignified life. I learned how to talk properly. I learned how to dress. I learned so many other things that came along with it. So what? I don't have my money anymore. All the other things that came along, I still have. Nimshal. You could start with this. I should have asked it as a question. What are we so happy about? We don't have a base at Mikdash anymore. All Jews aren't in Eretz Yisrael anymore. There are so many things that we're missing. What are we celebrating? Then you give the mashal. And then the nimshal, right? It has to be someone who's not in this room right now. That is the listener. And then the nimshal is, yes, we don't have the base at Mikdash. We don't have Malchus Beis David. And we don't have full Geula. But there are so many things that we have. And there are so many things that can never be taken away from us. A Jew in Gala still has Torah, still has the values that we received at Har Sinai. That can never be taken away. Right? Rav Ashri writes in one of his heart-wrenching tshuvas, in Tshuvas B'Ma'amakim, right, when he was asked, are we allowed to say Shalo Asani Aved? Right, in the one of the ghettos. And he goes through a whole halachic discussion and he says, 100%. Because they can never take that away from us. Ein lecha ben choren el mishi yasuk b'Torah. They can never get to our roots. They can never get to those values that Hashem gave to us on Maimon Har Sinai. Kriyas Yamsuf, what we gained. The whole process. Yes, we lost some things. But we still make a party on the day that we received what we received. And that, of course, is Pesach, which started the whole process. Obviously, we celebrate Maamad Har Sinai also. But this is the beginning of the process, and that's what you see at the end, where it's underlined, Et hanimusim ba'alichos hani'imos, O son, rachashi la'atzmi. Right? All the other values I got, that they can't take away. Even begalos hamar, even though we're still rachmon l'tzlan, we still don't have... You know, we're still subject to Shibud Malchios. There are so many people that don't want Am Yisrael around. Still, Areza Meshubach, it's still celebrate what we have. Okay. Ma'isa Rebbe Eliezer. Ma'isa Rebbe Eliezer, the story of the five rabbis. Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Eliezer ben Azariah, Rebbe Akiva, and Rebbe Tarfon, the five rabbis. We've mentioned in the past the thought of the Aruch HaShulchan also. What were they doing in Bnei Brak? Bnei Brak was the city of Rebbe Akiva. They were all rabbis in respective cities. Why dafka did they all go to Bnei Brak for the Seder? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, we have to remember based on the historical context, this was 150, 100 plus years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. No, they probably, you know, still overlooked, right? The Har HaBayis, they still had charred stones. Imagine what those Siddurim were like. Imagine how depressing it was. Where's the Karban Pesach? Where's all of Am Yisrael? What? You call this a Seder? Like the Gemara says, that some of the elders during the Bisman Bayesheni remember what the first Beis HaMikdash was like. You call this a Beis HaMikdash? The Kodesh Kadashim is empty. Right? So here the Seder. You know, we look at our Seder table and the matzah and the maror, it's full. But we're missing the main course. Right? We're missing the Karban Pesach. Imagine what those Siddurim were like. So it was depressing. It was hard. They went to Bnei Brak, Rabbi Akiva. Because as we know, throughout Shas, he's the optimist. He's the one that always puts things in perspective. He's the one at the end of Makkos that says, yes, the Shu'al on Har HaBayis, You know, I know the nevuahs are going to take place, the bad nevuah and the positive nevuah is going to take place. He's the one in Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek, when his Rebbe Rabbi Elazar is on his deathbed, and everybody's crying. He's laughing, he's smiling. Baruch Hashem, you're getting punished now, so Lasa Lavo can be perfect. He's the one at the end of Masechus Brachas that's getting killed. And he says, but this is what I've been waiting for all my life. I've been waiting, when is this moment going to come? This is Rabbi Akiva. He's the one that at age 40, the Avos Rabbi Nassan says, he saw the water on the rock. He said, I could change my life at age 40. I could start learning Aleph Beis. Rabbi Akiva is always the one that has that positive outlook. They went to Rabbi Akiva to get chizik. They went to Rabbi Akiva to learn from him how to have a positive Seder even in times like this. So either way, these five rabbis came together. One of the questions that is asked is in the Otra Satori, he quotes it from the Chidah. A number of Haggadahs quote this from the Chidah. And that is, what's the Chiddush of this paragraph? Everybody does the mitzvah. What, the Chiddush is that these rabbis lost themselves and they did it the whole night? Okay, maybe that's the goal. We should lose ourselves and talk the whole night. But the Chidah says, the Chiddush of these five rabbis is that these five rabbis, all of their ancestors were not in the Shibud Mitzrayim. Three of them were Kohanim, one was a Levi, and one was from Gerim. So none of their ancestors actually were in the Shibud. And he quotes, and you have to have Shas on your fingertips to know this, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen, Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen, Rabbi Shua was a Levi, Rabbi Elazar was a Kohen, Rabbi Kiva was Ben Gerim. Right? So none of their ancestors were in the Shibud. So that's the Chiddush. Even these rabbis, and then the Chidah even says, V'chol hamarbe l'saper, right, which introduces this paragraph. V'chol, right, switch around the letters, Kohanim, Levim, V'gerim. You don't have a gimel in there, but it's good enough, right? Kohanim, Levim, V'gerim, V'chol, that is what they did. So that's what the Chidah says. But the Otsos HaTorah asks, but one second. So Tachlis, so why'd they do it? Why do they have a mitzvah? If their ancestors didn't go through it, so why were they being marbe? So just do the minimum. Why were they marbe l'saper then? Towards the bottom. Ubma be'emes hatam shenis rabu. Hari lo hayu klal b'shibud. Kosav achidah v'yish lo tili ten tam l'shvach. Dem chas v'shalom ayishoin od rega echad. If Klal Yisrael would have been there one more second, as we know, they would never have gotten out. Holchin achar harov. What, the Kohanim Levim would have had their own nation? No. Once Am Yisrael is gone, we're all gone. Even though they weren't in the Shibud, we're affected by each other. Jews are affected. If the majority of Jews, you know, aren't following, then it's everybody's problem. Right? If Orthodox Jewry is in the minority in all Jewry, so we have to worry about our fellow Jews. We have to worry about all Jews out there. He says, if all Jews would have been Navad, Sheva Levi would have been Navad, and the Kohanim, right? So they also have a lot to be thankful for, and V'chol Amar B'Lasaper, they fulfilled it in a very unique and amazing way. And this paragraph leads us into, some have it as one paragraph, Amar B'Lazar Ben Azariah. B'Lazar Ben Azariah, right, as we know, this is the end of the story in Brachas in the fourth Perek. Let's review the story for a moment, because this thought is about the story. Right? Just saying the story is always a good thing to review at the Seder. Rabbi Gamliel was removed from being the Nasi, right, for various reasons, and they needed to find a new chief rabbi. And they decided, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah has all the milas. He's got everything. He has yichus, he's smart, he has money, he's not going to be bribed, he's got everything. So the rabbinic delegation comes to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's house, they knock on the door, they look outside, they see all the rabbis, all the top hats, and the horses there, and they're there. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we want to invite you to be our chief rabbi. And he says, what should he say? Yes, I've been waiting for this phone call. I've been waiting for this all my life. And yet, as we know, his answer is, I need to go ask my wife. So he goes in, honey, I have a question. And he goes in and they talk about it for a few minutes. And the Gemara says the conversation. That she says, what do you need this for? Maybe they'll fire you tomorrow. What do you need this for? And he says to his wife, better to be a glass kli for one day than an earthenware kli all my life. See, he took the job. But she said, wait a minute, you don't have a white beard. And that night, miraculously, he grew a white beard, even though he was only 18 years old. And that's why in the Haggadah, we say, Hare ani kiven shivim shana, I am like 70 years old. Right? I'm not 70, I'm like 70 because I have the white beard. That's the background. But let's just finish the paragraph for a second. I am like 70 years old, and I still, v'lo zachisi, sh'ti amar yitzis mitzrayim b'leilos, I haven't figured out a source for the mitzvah of Zechir Sisi's Mishraim at night, until Ben Zoma. I've been waiting all my life until I figured out that the mitzvah of Zechir Sisi's Mishraim is not only by day, but even by night. Okay. So there's a thought in front of you from this new Agada I got this year, Idis Sheva Idis. Okay, new Agada that I found. He has on two volumes of on Chumash also, Idis Sheva Idis, the best of the best. Okay? So we have to have some thoughts of Idis Sheva Idis. Anyway. So he asks, amazing, I didn't see this question in other Haggadahs. So what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? I'm like 70 and I've never heard of this. You ever have a 7-year-old, maybe I've had this with some of the kids, and like the 7-year-old will say, Abba, in my whole life I never saw that. My whole life. And we like laugh, because it's like, you're 7. My whole entire life, I can't believe I never saw such a thing. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is 18 years old. What does he say? In my entire life, I've never figured out this drasha. He's not 70. He's only like 70. So what does it mean that he says, I'm like 70, and I've never been able to figure this out? Tell him, that's a reason, that's why you didn't figure it out yet. Because you're only 18. You know, give yourself some time. Right? So it's just the opposite of what we have expected in terms of the age. So question number one. What does that mean? The message of, you know, I'm 18 and I haven't figured this out. So the Yiddish Abedis here quotes a charifus, as we might call it. A sharp thought. A sharp thought. What's the sharp thought? Two steps. Step number one. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel mentions an unbelievable medrash that some might be familiar with, some not. He quotes it on the bottom right. On the pasuk in Yisro, Vo esra eschem al kanfei nesharim, I'll carry you on wings of eagles. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says, wait a minute, Klal Yisrael, we're doing Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, but Karban Pesach is a karban. Don't they need the Azara? Don't they need the Beis HaMikdash? What's going on? The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel quotes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took eagles, put all of Am Yisrael onto eagles in Mitzrayim, flew them to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, shechted the Karban Pesach, brought him back to Mitzrayim, and they ate the Karban Pesach that night. That's what he says. Bottom right. Shekal Yisrael nasu ba'oso alayla ba'ananim l'makam ha-migdash v'yachlu. Maybe they ate the Karban Pesach there. Then they came back. They put the blood on the doorposts. That's the Medrash. So, explains the Idish HaBe'idis, there was somewhat of a geula at night. Right? We mentioned before already, and this also comes up in the previous paragraph. There are some psukim that say the geula took place during the day, some that it took place at night. So maybe the issue is there was a temporary geula at night. Is a temporary geula considered a geula or not? Maybe that's the issue. If it's described as the geula happening at night, that's because even a temporary geula is a geula. If it's focused on the day, then no. Now, come on, that was only temporary. But the real geula took place by day. And maybe that's the issue of Mazkirin Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. Should you mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zachir Yetzias Mitzrayim at night? It was only temporary. They went out, they came back in. They didn't go out until the next day. So the issue being discussed in this paragraph of Zachir Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos is temporary geula a geula or not? Suggest the Idis Shebeidis, that's the machlokas of Blessed Azariah and his wife. Blessed Azariah says, should I take the job? She says, maybe they'll fire you tomorrow. Meaning, one day? It's meaningless. What does he say? Better to be a glass cleaver for one day. Even a temporary geula. Even an uplifting, an inspiration for a moment. That also is significant. That's also important. That's the machlokas between him and his wife. And who was right? He grew a white beard overnight, miraculously. Meaning Hashem gave his askama to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why'd he grow the white beard overnight? What does he say? Am Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. I'm like shivim shana. What does that mean? I grew a white beard overnight. I'm like 70 years old. I grew that white beard. What does that show? That shows that I'm right. Right? Temporary geula is geula. Meaning, you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, even though it's a temporary geula. So he says, I know all this. I'm like 70. I grew a white beard. So I realize a temporary geula is a geula. You have to mention it at night. And I haven't figured out a drasha for it yet, until Ben Zoma said. See, he's not mentioning his age. He's mentioning his age to mention the miracle. I'm mentioning this miracle happened, which shows that the temporary geula is a geula, and therefore you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. And that's why I need to figure out a drashas chazal, which I couldn't figure out until Ben Zoma helped. Unbelievable. Charifus, as we would call this, quoting here from the Zichron Elimelech. Okay. Moving right along. That's our Rav Ben Azariah. We get into Baruch HaMakom. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. This is from the Haggadah of Rav Matisyahu Solomon, the Mount Neschaim, where he discusses a question that many ask, why Dafka is HaMakom used here? Hashem has many names. Dafka HaMakom is mentioned here. So Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Schwab also mentions a different answer, and that is Baruch HaMakom is introducing the four sons. Right? Baruch HaMakom, Kineged Arba Banim Dibur Torah. HaMakom is always used when somebody feels distant from God. HaMakom means Hashem fills up space. Hashem is everywhere. HaMakom, the two times we say HaMakom, the two famous times where HaMakom appears, by a Shiva, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem, and in Achenu, which we say Mondays and Thursdays. HaMakom Yerachem Aleihem, Yosim Yitzhar Levacha. By Tsaris, we mention HaMakom, when somebody feels distant from Hashem. HaMakom, Hashem is close to you. So here, Baruch HaMakom, we're about to talk about all four types of sons. The ones that are close, the ones that are far, even the Russia, even Adi Elishol, HaMakom. Hashem is connected to you wherever you might stand in life. Wherever a Jew is, Hashem is there, HaMakom. That's their answer, Rav Soloveitchik or Schwab. Rav Matisyahu Solomon here mentions connected, but different. Before we talk all about, this is towards the beginning, Sila Makid, before we talk all about what Hashem did, we have to describe who Hashem is. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Hashem doesn't take up. He is. Hashem is space. Hashem Echad. Baruch HaMakom. Shelo rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kocho Gadol. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hu Akov Ein Ol Mavado. There's nothing besides Hashem. He is HaMakom. He is everywhere. There's nothing. There's the only independent existence in life is Hashem. Right, that's why we can't understand how he knows about things beforehand. Of course, he doesn't have wisdom. He is wisdom. He doesn't have attributes. He is everything he is. So he is HaMakom. That's who he is. We're going to talk about the story, what he did. But before we talk about what he did, we have to mention who he is. He is the only force in the world. And we talk about who he is. And that, of course, introduces the four sons. This is the second and final thought from the Iddush Shebe'iddus in the page number 12. And a question that's asked by many, and we've discussed this in the past. What exactly is the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? And we've discussed in the past that those aren't really opposites either. Tzaddik and Rasha, Chacham and Tipesh would be better pairs. Right, but it's Chacham and Rasha. So that's homework. Just why Dafka don't we have the exact parallel between the two? Maybe the following thought could answer that as well. We'll see. But the question that is asked is, what exactly is the difference? The Chacham says, Moha Eidus V'Chukim Asher Tziva Hashem Elkeinu Eschem. What are these Eidus V'Chukim? And the Rasha says, Moha Avoda Azos Lachem. Sounds pretty similar. So many answers given. The Chacham mentions Shem Hashem. But here in the Iddush Shebe'iddus, he quotes that if you look closely, there are three differences between the question of the Chacham and the question of the Rasha. And again, it's not just the Haggadah. Each of the four questions, as we know, are Psukim and Chumash. They're quoting from four different places in Chumash, quoting four questions, and Chazal tell us who's asking each of those questions. So it's really four Psukim. So the Pasuk that we apply to the Chacham and to the Rasha, three differences. Number one, top left of the column. The Chacham ki yish'olcha bincha. When your son asks. While by the Rasha, ki yomru aleichem b'neichem. When they say. So first is, the Tzaddik is question, and Rasha is Yom Rusei. Second, Chacham is singular. Yish'alcha, when he, your son, will ask, singular, Lashon Yachid. By the Rasha, ki Yomru, plural. Yomru aleichem b'neichem. So, question versus statement, and plural versus singular. And number three, by the tzad, by the chacham, it says, ki yish'alcha bincha machar. He'll ask you tomorrow, machar, sometime in the future. And that word does not appear by the Rasha. Three differences. So here he explains, he quotes this from one of the Belzer Rebbes. Maybe the answer is the first question. And that is, in life, whenever we're talking to someone about, especially religion, we always have to know, are they really asking a question and looking for an answer? Or are they making a statement in question form? Sometimes children do this to parents. Sometimes students do this to teachers. Are you asking me a question? Do you want an answer? Or are you just screaming at me in question form? If people are making statements in question form, then you can't give an answer to an answer. It's just not going to work. They're not interested. Somebody wants to have a discussion about belief in God. Are you looking for an answer? Or is your mind made up and you don't really care what I say, but you're just formulating it as questions? You can only give an answer to a question. The Rush is not really asking a question. And that's why it doesn't say ask, it says say, ki yomru. And he only does it if there's somebody else there. Plural. If it's in private, why should he do that? He wants to make a big stink. He wants everybody to see him do what he's doing. That's why it's in plural. Ki yomru aleichem. So it's statement, and it's plural, and the chacham, he ponders and he meditates and wants to really understand things. So also machar, at a future date, in the middle of the year, he might have this question about Torah. The chacham never comes. When you're eating matzah and he sees something, he'll ask you a question right now. Not in the future. He's not just going to come up with it at some undetermined time in the future that this is what's bothering me. So all three reflect that the Rasha is not really asking. And maybe that's why, just thinking about it now, maybe that's why we call him a Rasha and not a Tipesh. If somebody's a fool, they're just foolish. They're lacking knowledge. But a Tipesh might ask a question. He might just have difficulty understanding the answer. A Rasha doesn't even want to ask a question. Right? This is what I believe. This is who I am, and I'm not interested. And that's the worst attitude to have when somebody feels that, you know, they know everything, right? Like the Baal Amor that we've quoted. Rabbeinu Yonah in the last parak of Pirkei Yalos quotes the Baal Amor. Lo yadati sheyadati, ad sheyadati shelo yadati. I didn't realize that I know something until I realized I don't know something. If I think I know everything, I know nothing. Lo yadati sheyadati, ad sheyadati shelo yadati. An amazing quote. Okay, four sons. We could spend the whole night on the four sons. Maybe just to mention, just one thought. I can't stop myself. From Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, which we've mentioned in the past, but it's an amazing thought, so you should mention it every year. I'm not apologizing. Rav Aaron notes that he, in his view, maybe the four sons aren't really four separate sons. Because after all, does Judaism ever label sons? You know, you're a Russia, you're a Tom. Right? We don't really believe in that. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says maybe these are just four stages of development in every human being. Right, four stages. When a person is born, a baby is born, they're an infant, and there's nothing else in the world besides their mother's milk and a dirty diaper. That's it. That's the only thing in the world. The discomfort. They are an eina yodea lishol. That's it. As the child gets older, and they're toddlers, they're very curious, and they're interested in everything. And they're constantly asking, what's this, and what's this, and what's this? Mazos. And that's what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik calls dependence. Mazos, mazos. They just want to know. And then, as a child gets older, maybe it's the teenage years, that's Russia, rebellious stage. And finally, the older stage, the most mature stage, is Chacham, independence, what he calls. So it's really talking to the four stages of our development. But the Chiddush, says Rav Aaron, is the four stages are not mutually exclusive. Every stage of our life, we have all four in us. It's just that some are more open and clear. Even when we're chacham, we have a little Russia in us, and we have a little Tom in us, and we have a little Eniyel Shol. And even when we're a Tom, we have a little they're overlapping. So we could talk to ourselves. And there are some things about our personality, relating this to the previous thought, that we don't want any answers. We think we know it all. We have to talk to the Russia in us, who has that attitude, and give an answer in Hakei Achinav. And we have to talk to the Chacham in us, and the Eniyel Shol in us. So that's Ravar. Good. Yochol Mei Rosh Chodesh, page 14. Yochol Mei Rosh Chodesh. I might think from Rosh Chodesh, we have to start the mitzvah of Sifur. Tavolor Yamahu. What we mentioned before. Iba Yamahu, you might think from the earlier that day. Tamalomar Bavarzeh, only when there's matzah and mar. So there is a beautiful drush quoted here in the Berachayim. In Rebbeinu Min Tagada. A drush. Yochol Mei Rosh Chodesh. I might think that I only have to serve Hashem when I'm feeling His chadshus, when I'm feeling newness, when I'm feeling excited, opening day, a beginning of a something, newness, I'm feeling, I'm so into it, it's the first day of a job, first day, even kids, the first day of school, there's something about it, they'll never admit it, but there's something about it, the second day already, enough, but the first day, I might think that I only have to serve Hashem when there's Yischach, just Tamalor Bayomahu. No, every day. Every day. I Bayomahu, Yachol Mibod Yom. If it's fine, I might not feel Yischach, but maybe Mibod Yom. I have to have Yom, like we said before. I have to have clarity of what's going on in my life. I have to have the attitude of Yom. I have to have Hagid Baboker Chastecha. Right, I might think maybe only me bod yom. Tam alomar, bavur zeh, b'shosh yesh matzah umaror, munachem lefanecha. We have to serve Hashem when there's no ischachus and when there's no yom. And when we have the matzah and the maror mixed together. Rachmana litzlan, rachmana litzlan. Sometimes we have to have sedarim when people are in extreme pain after having lost. You know, thinking back to a previous Seder, and we think about, you know, maybe relatives, you know, or friends, or, you know, a Seder brings back a lot of memories. So sometimes it's b'shosh yesh matzah u'maror munachem lefanecha. Not just when there's ischachus, not then only when there's yom. In every situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands and expects of us b'shosh yesh matzah u'maror munachem lefanecha. Good. Mitchila, continuing the Haggadah. Mitchila, page 15, Mitchila, the Avodah Zarah, Yovaseinu. Originally, our forefathers, right, this is the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, were Maschil, Begnus, both physical and spiritual. So we had Avodah Mayinu earlier, that was the physical, and now we have the spiritual. Mitchila, over the Avodah Zarah, Yovaseinu. The Achshav, Kervon, Alakam, Avodaso. Baruch Hashem, Hashem has took us there. So we spend this night discussing Hashem's graciousness and goodness. Hashem's the best, Hashem's amazing. Asked in the Haggadah of Gedolei Yerushalayim. We're so excited Hashem took us out. Who put us into Mitzrayim? Who put us into Mitzrayim in the first? Hashem, thank you for taking us out. Okay. You know, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, if you take something away and then you give it back, do I really have to thank you for that? Hashem put us into Mitzrayim for 210 years. Thank you for taking us out. Why did you put us in there in the first place? Malon alach Hashem isbarach alanisim shal yitzias Mitzrayim adaraba yiksha aleinu lamech nisanu avod akashal Mitzrayim. What do we ever do? What do we ever do? Says the Gedol Yerushalayim akol ze kasher kochinam. You can only ask that kasha if somebody punches his friend in the face and then pays for the doctor's bills. Right? You can only ask the kasha, why'd you punch me in the face if he did that for nothing? But if he punched him in the face for a good reason, because he saw that there was some disease on his face, that if he doesn't punch it off at that second, he would die, then he has to thank him for it. Kadosh Baruch Hu saw what Am Yisrael needed to survive. You know what we had in our DNA? Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Read the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Avram Avinu was an Oved Avodah Zarah. Obviously, he perfected himself and purged himself, but our roots were not pure. And Hashem needed to create a nation that was going to be with him through thick and thin. A nation that was going to be with him more than 2,000 years of Golus and never give up. With all the tortures And with all the attacks, ad hayom hazeh, we never give up. Right? Right? We shimcha lo shachachnu. The only way that he could create that bond is through the Mitzrayim experience. That was to be mitzarif us, mikura barzel, to purify us, and we needed it. And that is why we can't ask, why did he put us in there? He needed to put us in there. Like a surgeon who has to cut in order to save, to amputate, to save the rest of the organism. We had to go through those difficulties in Mitzrayim in order to be able to save the organism, to come out afterwards with what we had. Good. Baruch Shomer Avtachaso Yisrael. The next paragraph we get right into. Hashem, thank you for keeping your promise. Page 16. Baruch Hashomer Avtachaso Yisrael. Hashem Kishev Edakeith. Hashem kept the promise of the Brisbane Abasarim. And what was the promise? We quote the Psukim from Bereishis. And we say, V'gavas Hagar Asher Yavodu Don Anochi. And even the end of Brisbane Abasarim, it says, and Hashem punished the nation that subjugated us. Of course, Mitzrayim. There is a major question that's dealt with by all the Rishonim. The Rambam, the Ravid, the Ramban. All discuss, if Hashem already promised in Bris Ben HaBasarim that we were supposed to be strangers in a strange land, and we were going to be subjugated, so why were the Mitzrayim punished? They were just fulfilling the word of God. Hashem already promised to Avraham. He didn't specify, but this happened to be the nation. Why were the Mitzrayim worthy of being punished? It's not fair. They just did what Hashem said was supposed to happen. Right? The same thing is asked later on by Sancherev, by Nebuchadnezzar. Right? Yeshayahu Hanavi talks about this. Right? It was supposed to happen. So Sancherev and Nebuchadnezzar are like, what do we do? Paro, what do we do? One question. Says the Bar Yosef, an unbelievable pshat. We mentioned this in Parsha Shirim. I don't remember if we ever mentioned this in the Haggadah Shir. Says the Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Misalant. Why, another question. Why was the first sign that Hashem told Moshe to show Paro the stick changing into a snake? The Matan Nepach L'Nachash. Right, everything, by the way, is all here. We're not reading so much inside to try to get through it. But it's all in front of you. Why is it that Hashem chose that message? Maten and Achash. What's the message? So explain the Rambam and the Ramban and the Ravid both explain, and we'll get back to the Bar Yosef. Why were the Mitzrayim punished? Hashem said to subjugate them. Hashem never said throw their babies in the river. Hashem never said to try to annihilate them. They went above and beyond, way beyond what Klal Yisrael were deserving of and what Hashem promised. And that's why they were punished. It wasn't like they were innocent, you know, part innocent actors and messengers of God. They went way above and beyond what Hashem wanted them to do. The Gemara says, well, let's say it this way. Skip that. Paro says to God, so to speak, I'm just a stick in your hands, God. I'm a mate. A mate, and I'm hitting. So why do I deserve to be punished? What do you mean, let the Jews out? I'm doing what you say. The mate, Moshe takes it, and it changes to a snake. You're not a stick, you're a snake. A snake is independent. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, if somebody holds a snake next to someone else, Rachmana Litzlan, and the snake goes and bites, the person is only Grumma Benizakin. Why? Because a snake acts independently. Paro, you're not a stick. You're a snake. And therefore, the end of this paragraph, Yachar Kain, Rav Gamas HaGoy Yesher Yavodu Don Anochi, they deserve to be punished. And so too we could say for every nation in the history of the world for the past thousands of years. Yes, we're supposed to be in Galus, but there's never an agreement for the Holocaust and for the pogroms and for the Crusades. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Nevi'im say, the nations go way beyond what's supposed to be in store for us, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Meshalem there, Gemul, we believe and we... and we know. But that's Baruch Shomer, the beautiful thought of the stick changing to a snake. Good, and then we move on to Vehisha Amda. Vehisha Amda, 17. Vehisha Amda, Lavosein of Alanu. Right, we pick up the coast. We mentioned in the past, you know, what's the Vehi? What's the Vehisha Amda? We lift up the cup. If you don't lift up the cup, you don't have to repeat the Seder. It's okay. But the minhag of Klal Yisrael in most places is to lift up the cup. Why do we lift up the cup? So, what's the Vehi? So we mention every year, Vehi Shamda. The Pashas of Vehi is, it's referring back to the previous paragraph. Vehi, this Haftacha that we just spoke about, that Hashem promised at Brisbane and Basarim, this is what has kept us going throughout the generations. Vehi Shamda of Asayin of Alanu, Shalachar Bilvat, every generation they try to destroy us. V'yakadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam, Hashem saves us in every generation. That's the Vehi, Hashem saves us. Right, the miracle of the Jewish people. Right, Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the Hakdama to his Siddur says, a 50-page Hakdama in tiny little letters, the one that I have. He says, the greatest miracle in the history of the world was not Kriyas Yamsuf, was not Yericho. The greatest miracle of the world is the existence of the Jewish people at Hayom Hazeh. And he said that in the 1700s. That's the greatest miracle. So this paragraph says why we're still around. Vehi Shamda. It's the Haftacha. But there are other drushes. Vehi, maybe the Vehi stands for Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, Chabishichim Sheitara, Aseres HaDibros, and Hashem, Vav He Yud Aleph. Maybe that's the Vehi. But just to mention one thought that I heard 30 years ago from Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zechorno Levracha, who was just nifted this week, the Rav of the White Shul. So 30 years ago, he quoted a thought from the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Va'era. Vehi Sha'amta, the Meshech Chachma says, we lift up the cup of wine. Why is that the minhag of Klal Yisrael? Wine, those learning Daf Yomi now, no, Maseches Avodah Zarah, wine symbolizes, is one of the foods, but it really symbolizes all the laws, the rabbinic laws, that were made to keep Jews away from assimilating. Right, there's Pas, and Cholov, and Bishol, there's a lot, but wine has the most laws. Vehi, we lift up the wine, and we say, it's these laws that have kept us going. Because if you look throughout history, the sects of Jews that threw out the rabbinic laws are no longer around. They're no longer Jewish. It's only the Jews that have been strong and meshubit to the Mesorah. And Rachmana l'Islan, Ad Hayom Hazeh, there are more and more Jews that try to throw away the Mesorah and throw away the rabbinic laws or think that they're their own rabbis. And I could have as much power as other rabbis, which is basically not listening to the Mesorah of the Rabbanan. Rachmana l'Islan, history has taught us that a generation later, they're not around anymore in terms of being, you know, following the tradition. So Vehi, it's this wine, these laws, Sha'amda l'avosein avalon. Okay, but another thought on Vehi Sha'amda, talking about our survival these past 2,000 years. Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, if you know, Moshe Rabbeinu had two sons. Gershom and Eliezer. That's the answer to a trivia question, which you might want to ask at the Seder, right? Two first cousins of the Torah that their names are only different by one letter. Two first cousins of the Torah. Eliezer and Elazar. Right, Moshe's son and Aaron's son. Eliezer and Elazar. So you might want to ask that before you mention Moshe's two sons. But either way, says the Torah, Moshe had two sons, Gershom and Eliezer. Why was he called Gershom? Because he was a stranger in a strange land. Why was he called Eliezer? Because Hashem saved me. Elokei Avi Be'ezri, Vayatzileni Michar Paro, he saved me from the sword of Paro. Ezra Moshe, aren't the sons named in opposite order? His first son should have been Eliezer. Hashem saved me from the sword of Paro. Then he went to Midian, and he survived in Midian. Gera Yisi Beres Nachria. Why was he first? His older son was named Gershom, and his second son was named Eliezer. The events are in the opposite order. So explains Rav Moshe here in Parshas Yisro. V'hanachon bazeh. Moshe was giving hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu realized that if he would have been saved from Paro and then went into Midian and assimilated and did not act like a Jew, then the Hatzalah wouldn't have been worth it. Right? Why did Hashem save me if I didn't keep up who I am? Only because he was able to keep strong his Jewish identity in Midian could we then look back and say the Hatzalah was an appropriate and good Hatzalah. Once there was Gera Yisi Beres Nachriya, I didn't blend in, and I did what I was supposed to do. Now I could say, Hashem, I could thank you for the Hatzalah, because now I know that this Hatzalah was meaningful and significant. V'yatzileini Micherev Paro, now I could say that after Gera Yisi Beres Nachriya. I was thinking about this thought, after I put it in, I think I realized, maybe this thought is the most powerful thought that we're going to have tonight. And that is, everybody here today is specifically living as Nitzolim from the worst tragedy in Jewish history. We are in the generation after the Holocaust. Atzileini Micherev Paro. But we have to make sure, Ger Hayisi Be'eretz Nachriya, to make the Hatzalah have been worth it. To make HaKadosh, make us realize, to thank Hashem, whether it was our parents or our grandparents or our cousins that were saved. We are here because Hillel Yimach Shemo didn't get us. Not that he didn't want to get us. So we are Nitzolim, but the only way that we can look back and say Hashem, it was worth it, is if we're strong in terms of who we are. And if we're strong, Gera Yisi, we're strong and not Mevutal in the cultures around us. So then we can look back and say, V'yatzileini Micherev Paro, we could say the Hatzalah is worthwhile. So I think it's a very powerful thought for our generation specifically. And we'll move on. Tzei Olamad. Tzei Olamad. Ma'bikesh Lavan Arami, what David wanted to do to us. And again, all of these thoughts, these paragraphs, if you really think about it, Baruch Shomer and V'hisha Amda Tzei Olamad, they all have really one connected theme. Rav Aviner, in his Agadah, in source on page 18, he just quotes three of the Baalei HaMasorah. He quotes from the Maharal, he quotes from the Rambam, and he quotes from Rav Kook. All the same idea. Lavan Arami. What did Lavan have against Yaakov? Yaakov did everything for him. Yaakov brought him riches. Yaakov was an honest son-in-law. Twice. Right? Yaakov did everything. And yet, Lavan did everything he can against Yaakov. Says Rav Aviner, anti-Semitism does not have an explanation. It's part of how Hashem created the world. And we can do whatever we want, and there are ups and there are downs in Jewish history. And sometimes there are more countries that like us, and sometimes there are more countries that hate us. Generally, almost most of the time in history, most of the world hates us. But says Rav Aviner, quoting from the Maharal, right, first from the Maharal, Hisnag dusam eina ekef siba mugderes. There have been doctoral theses written to explain anti-Semitism. It's not worth it to try to explain it, because it's inherent in the Bria. We're too close to them, we're too far from them. We are too smart, we are too dumb. We're too rich, we're too poor. No matter what we are, no matter what we are, the Maharal quotes it from the Rambam, quotes it from Rav Kook towards the bottom, right? Atur hagula hasida, hishpanu ala olam rak limude chovos. Right? Chovos eina olam chafetz lekabel. They don't want to listen to what the Jew has to stand for. Vimu makabel, if they learn something, nishabalev tina. The fact that we have more, you know, Nobel laureates, the Chulu, wow, they're amazing. No, there's jealousy, there's hatred, they control everything, whatever it is. Love and bikish lakar asakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us. We have to do what we can to try to make a Kiddush Hashem and to inspire. We have to do our ishtamvus. But at the end of the day, until Amalek is removed, b'zman yimos HaMashiach, it's not going to be removed, it's not going to be perfect. So that's Tzei Olamad. Remember, we discussed in the past. Again, we don't have time to go into it now. Other thoughts on the Minchas Asher has an amazing pshat on Tzei Olamad based on the Vilna Gaon about the Alai Hayu Kulana. So if one doesn't remember that, that's definitely a worthwhile to review. But we go down. We have, again, the Psukim now, which, as we always say, the Psukim are where sometimes people put on the speed, meet you by Dayenu. But again, this is really, the Rambam says, Kalamar b'lasaper harezim shubach twice. The Rambam says it in general, by Avadim Ayinu, Kalamar b'lasaper, by CBC Mitzrayim in general, and then he says it when he quotes the psukim, and he quotes the drushes. Kalamar b'lasaper, I forgot the exact lashon, Kalamar b'lasaper v'lidrosh, darshan in these psukim, these halachas, harezim shubach. So Dafka, Harezim Meshubach, the Rambam has two Harezim Meshubachs in those two prakim, Perek Zayin and Perek Ches, of Vilchos Chametz U'Matzah, one has to be aware of that. So here in Rabbi Lam's Haggadah, in the royal table, He quotes on the pasuk called Ben Ayilod Ayaret Hashlichuhu. Right? So much of this part of the Haggadah is all about the Inui and about our enemies. That's what we're talking about. You know, we have to try to appreciate it when we try to relive it. So Rabbi Lam quotes an idea. He says, an idea that we celebrate tonight that really is a reflection of what's happened every time we were in a galus. And it happened at the beginning of the Mitzrayim story as well. What was the beginning of the Mitzrayim story? Paro, we know, has a meeting, the first final solution meeting, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, and he says, we have to get rid of the Jews. What does he do? He doesn't just put a decree, tell everybody, kill the Jews! What does he do? He goes over, he whispers into the Jewish midwives' ears instructions, which they don't listen to. But why did he do that? Because throughout history, when our enemies wanted to get us, they don't start right away with open hatred, killing. It's not politically correct. It'll look bad in the polls. If I just go and wipe out a nation. No, first you have to dehumanize them. Also, the first step, I try to get other people to do, so if they're caught, it wasn't me. I didn't know about it. Oh, it was them, these underlings, these inferior, you know, young people that have a mind of their own. I can't control them. Right? If the midwives would have listened, would have been much, much, and they would have caught Paro. Oh, really? I didn't know that. They say I told them that. I have no recollection of that. But the midwives didn't listen. So then what does Paro say? Throw all baby boys into the river. He probably said privately, don't worry about the Egyptian ones. What I really meant was the Jews ones. But slowly, slowly, you know, at the beginning he starts off slow until eventually, you know, it's just outright subjugation and against. But what we celebrate tonight, says Rabbi Lam, as you turn over the page, what we celebrate tonight at the Seder, we reenact and dramatize the historical Passover of Egypt, which an oppressed people not only overthrew its persecutors, but also exposed and unmasked the self-serving duplicity of a sanctimonious and self-righteous Paro. In every generation, every person must envision himself as if he himself had personally gone out of Egypt. The contempt of the Torah for Egyptian public hypocrisy must always be fresh in our minds as if we were there. And it happened in World War II, and it happened in all the tsaris, Rahman Litzlan, throughout the ages. Good. Moving right along. A few more. We get more of the psukim. We have later on Yitzias Makas Bechoris described. And of course, we have the drasha. Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, lo yidei malach, v'lo yidei saraf. Not through an angel, not through a shliach. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bechvodo uva'atzmo. Says Rav Pinkus in his Agada here on page, what page is this? Whatever page this is. Says Rav Pinkus, 21. Says Rav Pinkus in his Agada, if you look in any other history book of any other nation, all about their battles, and all about their victories, and all about their redemptions, the focus of the chapters will be on individuals. The focus of the chapters will be on the generals, will be on those who, you know, who gathered, who led. That's the focus. When it comes to Am Yisrael's history book, which is not a history book, capital H, when it comes to the history of the first redemption, which is really the source of all redemptions, the focus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we remember tonight, we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo al yidei malach, v'lo al yidei saraf. Moshe Rabbeinu, how we introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu? There was a man from Levi who met a woman from Levi. They got married. They had a baby. They put the baby in the basket, and the sister watched over to see if the baby was going to live. And the princess of Paro found the baby, and the sister found the mother, and that is how we are introduced to anonymous little baby. Eventually, we'll find out that it was Moshe Rabbeinu. But the emphasis is that Moshe, even Moshe, is just a pawn. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was our real Goel. Goal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, right, v'goalo. Right, he is our Goel. He is the Redeemer. And yes, Moshe, as great as Moshe was, tonight is reserved for Moshe, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tonight is reserved for recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one. It could be that Shavuos is a celebration of Moshe Rabbeinu. if tonight is purely Hashem, Shvuah Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, says Malachi at the end of Nevi'im. Right, Shvuah might be more Moshe related. One of the reasons of many that Moshe isn't really focused on in the Haggadah except one passing mention. But either way, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo V'Atzma. And we get to Dayenu, and we introduce Dayenu next page with Kama Malos Tovos L'Makom Aleinu, how great, how many things we have to thank Hashem for. If you were writing the introductory line, how many things we got from Hashem? What does the pasuk, what does the phrase say? Kama Malos Tovos. What does it say? L'Makom, it should be Mimakom. Again, Hashem's name is Ma'akom. What is it? Kama malos that Hashem gave us, we got from Hashem. Why does it say la-makom? Maybe we've said this 1,000 times, and we never caught it. Right, what do you mean, malos tovos la-makom? It should be mi-makom. Number two, when you say somebody did something for you, usually the word is, he asah zeh li, lanu, for us. What's aleinu? It should be lanu. Should be mimakom lanu. What's la makom aleinu? So says Rabbi Bernstein in his Agada. Says Rabbi Bernstein in his Agada, every time somebody does something for us, that creates an obligation. It's not just a thanks. But whenever somebody does something, and the bigger, the more they do and the bigger they do, you know, the more indebted we are. So more, the more Hashem gives us, the more we need to give Him. So kama malos tovos that translate into lamakom. To Hashem, aleinu, obligatory upon us. Aleinu, like a chiv, is aleinu. It's not a gift to us, it's an obligation upon us. That explains the lamakom, and that explains the aleinu. Again, a lot more with Pesach Matzah Morer. Let's just end with the last page in the packet, and that is Erchad Gadya. We know Chad Gadya is all about Jewish history on a deeper level. Rabbi Sachs in his Agada, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, discusses the beginning of the story, though, is about a goat. Everything has symbolism, the cat and the dog and the cow and the water and the stick and the fire, everything. But it starts with a goat. When we think about Jewish history and the image of a goat, what do we think of? We think of Mechiras Yosef. We think of Mechiras Yosef. What's Mechiras Yosef? What do we think about? Yaakov Avinu. Throughout the story, throughout the 22 years, it might not have been conscious, but it was there. Vayimain lehi nachem. What did Chazal say? He did not accept Nechama because you don't accept Nechama by somebody who's still alive. And maybe deep down subconsciously, maybe consciously he didn't know. But he couldn't stop crying because he down never gave up hope. And when we cry, that means we still have hope. We still cry for the Beis HaMikdash because we know it's coming back. When we stop crying, we know it's done. That's Yeish. Yaakov Avinu never stopped crying. We end the Seder by saying, we have hope. And we don't stop crying. And we don't stop yearning. Because we know, Va'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shachal HaMalach HaMavis. Right, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. You see at the end, Chad Gadya expresses the Jewish refusal to give up hope. So history is full of man's inhumanity to man. Dog bites cat, stick hits dog. That's not the final verse. The Haggadah ends with the death of death in eternal life. A fitting end for a story of a people dedicated to Moshe's great command, choose life of Bacharta Bachayim. We should all be zoche to fulfill the mitzvah of Liras Etz Atzma. We should be zoche not to the Aschalta to Geula, but to the Geula Shlema, b'mheir of Yameinu Amen.